Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
The news on Danielle Hunter.
Yep.
And we've gotten it, but it's not with the Bears. Danielle Hunter, according to many, including Jordan Schultz, is signing with the Houston Texans.
It's sad news. The one thing you were hoping for as a Bears fan was the fact that Danielle Hunter was still out there.
Yes.
He had a chance to get him. Now you have to address it in the draft. Now you've got no choice but to address it in the draft.
They have not spent a high amount of money here in free agency.
Oh, boy.
DeAndre Swift is their biggest ticket item. I mean,
in a position that doesn't matter. They spent the most money at a position that doesn't matter. You had the one big signing you were going to have was to get somebody to solidify what you have. What's happening up at Hallis Hall? A lot of thumb twiddling going on.
Are they too worried about where the hell they're going to put their stadium? They forgot that the product they put on the field is more important? What the hell's going on there?
There was the good kid. I was not in a good mood after he got the news.
I wanted Danielle Hunter as well for the same reasons. They're not cash strapped. You're going to have a rookie quarterback on a low end deal. Like, now's the time to actually go out there and splurge a little bit. Buy yourself that nice gift, you know? And that gift would have only been a couple of years. Like, look, I don't even know. I don't know. Was Danielle Hunter's heart set on going back to Texas? I don't know. Would you have had to offer him more? Obviously, he's got to come here and pay Illinois state taxes.
Yeah,
you don't
that's
have
what
any
everyone
state
says.
Taxes
no.
in Texas. But I was hoping, man, I was hoping beyond hope. That would have been really cool. And I thought when Christian Wilkins and the other defensive tackles, the three techniques, started getting paid billions of dollars, I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. We've got, you know, Trevon Dexter. He'll play the three technique. We're going to get Danielle Hunter. No, we're not.
Do you think they're a year away because they need to see what the quarterback position produces this year? Well, and maybe other veterans need to see what the Bears have, because now people are looking at what C.J. Stroud's doing and they're like, oh, sign me up with the Texans? Or do you think it's just money that talks in NFL free agency?
I think so.
It's guarantees and it's biggest deal.
And let's do this. I'm not asking anybody to not be prudent. I'm not trying to say spend like a drunken sailor, but let's say that the Caleb Williams has a C.J. Stroud type of year. Like, let's go. I mean, we saw last year what that quarterback who can be a difference maker can do for an entire team. I don't know. I mean, I'll get over it.
Yeah.
I just...
So I mentioned Lewis Riddick. He was on Get Up today. They're now talking about it. They played the Kyle Long. Did you hear the Kyle Long audio?
I saw it. He was sitting in his car, right? Talking about both guys, bringing both to camp. And
very similar to Joniak and Yurko. Yeah. Let me play it for you in case you missed it. This is Kyle Long, who believes that if the Bears don't get what they want for Justin, bring them both to camp.
Well, it's obvious things are not what they seem. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, and a lot of you thought Justin Fields was worth X, and now we've seen that Justin Fields is obviously in the minds of the National Football League worth Y. So this is why I'm saying you retain Justin Fields. You keep him. You also draft Caleb Williams. You get two quarterbacks for cheap. At some point during the season, somebody's going to come knocking on Ryan Poles' door because they will have an injury in their own building. They will need a quarterback that's ready, an explosive, dynamic option, and that's Justin Fields. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be on the shelf. And that is the easiest way to get Y plus five. If Y is his value league-wide, you're going to get Y plus five in the middle of the season if you retain him on the roster. I still think you go Caleb Williams. I think this is your best bet with the limited options for destinations for Justin Fields.
Kyle Long doing some algebra right there. And then so Lewis Riddick.
Y plus five.
They played that for the guys, and this was Lewis Riddick's take on that.
Look, I think there's a number of reasons why you don't. Number one, look, you're trying to build something in Chicago, both in terms of culture and in terms of improved play on the football field, especially at the quarterback position. So now you want Justin Fields, a guy who you said, I'm going to do right by him. I want to make sure that he gets to a place that, you know, that is good for him and that we can all move on here and we all get what we want. So now you're just going to hold on to him and let him sit there. He's not going to take any reps. You're going to be trying to get Caleb Williams ready to go. And you're just going to go ahead and foster a quarterback room that is just absolutely dysfunctional in terms of, look, these guys are going to be sitting there staring at each other going, what the hell are we even doing here? So now you also think that some team's going to become so desperate that they're going to trade for and give you a bounty for someone who has taken no reps all offseason, who you already had questions about whether or not he was ready to be a primetime player in the first place. Otherwise, someone would have traded for him already. So now he's going to be sitting on ice all offseason, all during training camp. Hell, maybe during the regular season, according to this philosophy. And then some team's going to jump up and go, hey, we'll give you a two for him. But he hasn't taken any reps. And we had questions about him last year anyway. It doesn't work like that. They're just going to have to like eat this one. They're going to have to take what they can get and move on. And then set the table for Caleb if that's who they're going to draft. And let Justin just get to a spot where he can learn from a veteran. He's going to have to take a back seat. And maybe his time will come down the road. That's the way this is going to play out. This is not going to be fantasy football where some teams is going to be so desperate and give you what you want.
I agree with Lewis 100%. 100%. I don't think that scenario is realistic in the Bears universe. It may have been realistic in Kansas City's universe. It may have been realistic in Green Bay's universe years ago. But with all of the circumstances being what they are right now, I agree with what Lewis said 100%.
Yep. Chase on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chase?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah. So the reason why I'm calling about, I get everybody's frustration with Ryan Poles free agency move, because I think one of the things that we always used to get annoyed with Ryan Pace was that he will always just, you know, be so aggressive at the wrong time and just overspend. I think with Poles, I think I would rather him just focus more on building this team through the draft, more so than free agency, because that's how you really build your team. The one thing that I am a little worried about is his evaluation on wide receivers and the center position. Those are the only two things that do give me a little worry, because he hasn't really done a good job as far as his evaluation of those two positions. So that's the things that I'm a little worried about.
I think it's a good call, Chase. Look, I don't even – I'm not so much frustrated. I'm just disappointed. I'm you know, honest to tell you that I wanted Danielle Hunter. I'm sorry. I think I have personally gotten to the point where I'm a little greedy right now, and I'm greedy because I see that Ryan Poles has managed things well with regard to your cap space and what you've got on the horizon with regard to a rookie on a quarterback on a rookie contract. I thought maybe a little splurge, a little ice cream and cake. Not just a little cake or a little ice cream. How about a little ice cream and cake?
And big portions?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I was just hoping. I was hoping.
It was like what we said to Jalen Johnson. Like I said to Jalen, I go, hey, you've been looking at a car. What kind of car are you going to buy? And he said Rolls Royce. And I said to him, I go, whoa. And then you looked at me and you said, well, what were you thinking he was going to say?
Right. Not a minivan.
Right. And so when you've got that type of money, you expect a little splurge.
And by the way, I don't think it would have cost more. I don't believe the contract that Danielle Hunter signed with the Texans is outrageous by any stretch.
I don't either. $25 million for a guy who gets double-digit sacks every year.
Every year. Even and it's a short-term 30. Deal.
Yeah.
And all of it's guaranteed. I don't give a rat's ass. It's not my money.
It's 2 years of guarantees.
2 years of guarantees for a guy who's got a consistent track record.
Yes.
And you've got the cash. You've got a good situation. I was just hoping, man.
Jared downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jared?
How you guys doing? I hope you're enjoying the nice weather.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so my question, I heard you guys kind of throw a scenario where you get Mike Williams and then Roma Dunze is still available at 9 and you also take Rome. Do you think that's the smartest move for the Bears? Or like you heard Yurko say, where we have a lot of other positions we need to fill if we get Mike Williams, even if Rome's still there at 9, do we trade out of that to potentially get more draft capital and get one of the 26 other wide receivers that are in this draft class?
I don't. I would take him at 9. even though I would sign Mike Williams. Look, Mike Williams is going to be 30 years old. He's coming off an ACL. I have value for Mike Williams. I think he does something that's very unique in this game with his big body and good speed and goes up and high points the football. But I would still take Rome Odunze. I mean, what you're trying to do is create the infrastructure that Ryan Poles talked to us about for your rookie quarterback that unfortunately didn't exist for the previous starter.
Yes.
And Justin.
And the previous starters.
Justin was the victim of a poor infrastructure that was put into place by the previous regime. And then it was Ryan Poles' decision and the right decision to tear down the roster in 2022. And ultimately, that was a disadvantageous situation for Justin. And that's unfortunate, but you don't want to make that mistake going forward.
Can I add too? Listen, if Rome Odunze is sitting there at 9, as you guys studied with Field Yates, you run that card and don't even think about it. But the truth is that the Bears will need some things to fall their way for Odunze, or maybe even Neighbors, one of the two wide receivers, to fall into their lap. Otherwise, if they want one of those guys, they may have to try and trade up a pick or two.
I'm not doing that.
Neither would I. So that's why I don't think you can let the idea of drafting a receiver at 9 be the reason why you don't sign someone like Mike Williams. Because if they do fall in your lap, that's great. But the likelihood is, I think, that it probably is less than 50% that one of those guys will be on the board.
Yeah, and it's what Poles believes in. It's that best player mentality, best player available. And if Odunze is there at 9, that's why you're rushing it up, because you're like, wow, I didn't know. And I heard Cap today say that he says they love Neighbors. Mm-hmm. He says of the two, that's who their favorite is. So whether it's Neighbors or Odunze, I'd be thrilled. And yeah, I've heard the other guys are great too. So if neither's there, I'm for trading down in that case as well, and then you can fulfill, maybe get still one of the rush ends then.
I was thinking, look,
what do we got? This is breaking news.
I hope this is Bears related and not something else.
ESPN 1000.
Not Bears related.
Oh, I hate when you guys do this to me.
Big news still.
You lower that boom. My heart drops.
I love it. This is significant news. The Titans are signing Calvin Ridley.
Wow.
For 4 years, $92 million with $50 million guaranteed.
It's a lot of money.
Remember, yes. All the reports where it was down to the Jaguars and the Patriots. And out of nowhere, here come the Titans swooping in and spending big money on a receiver.
Well, and maybe the odds have now increased that either Odunze or Neighbors falls to number 9, because the Titans were one of the teams that people believed might be interested in a wide receiver with their... Are they picking 7th overall?
7th, yes.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. This is very significant all around, yeah.
It is, and that's surprising to me. Why would you... You could actually, unless they don't like the guys, you could use that pick on one of the receivers versus spending... And I like Calvin Ridley.
The Titans' problem is they have a lot of needs, so they could be eyeing up a tackle with their 7th overall pick.
Or they could be looking to trade the pick.
Possibly. They have a lot of holes.
That could be a spot for J.J. McCarthy.
Right, but you fill some of those holes if you take that pick and you trade it.
That could be a spot for Denver to come up.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not telling you that they believe Will Levis is the next Josh Allen, but, I mean, you did spend, a second-round pick on him last year? And
that's surprising. Breaking news brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group, home of this 60-minute guarantee. By the way, I had heard that many people thought that Calvin Ridley was holding off on a deal, so Jacksonville's payment to Atlanta would be, instead of a second-round pick, a third-round pick, because it came after the league opened. So did he do Jacksonville a solid on the way out and wait, but then only to sign with the Titans?
So I had seen...
Or was this a coincidence?
No, I think so. I think what happened was the Calvin Ridley's camp used the Jaguars needing him to wait to their advantage, because they were able to entice some other teams with possibly bigger offers by saying they wanted to wait for the Jaguars to get their best offer, and that allowed them then to play that offer against other teams who were in the market for him.
So, all right. So the breaking news again is Calvin Ridley to the Titans, and how that could affect the Bears, like the guy said, is they're picking 7th. And maybe that could take them out of the wide receiver drafting. And like we had earlier, like Field said, the Chargers have kept Keenan Allen so far. And maybe they don't draft a wide receiver in their spot. So maybe one of those three wide receivers. Everyone says one of those three, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be gone.
Isn't he? You would think so. Yes.
It would be between Neighbors or Odunze falling to 9, and most believe it would be Odunze. But
listen, Miller's right. I mean, I think this is definitely good news for the Bears if, in fact, they're eyeing a wide receiver, because if they do trade this pick, that pick is going to be spent on a quarterback. And they don't, obviously, I wouldn't think they're going to draft a receiver after giving that money to Ridley, but who knows? I would consider this ancillary good news for the Bears. In terms of what will be available to them at 9.
That's a huge $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah. A lot of money. He's a good player, but that's a lot of money. That's more than I thought he'd sign for.
Yeah. That's why the Bears may need to keep some room here for DJ Moore. Is still 2 years away.
Yeah.
But it's going to cost a lot of money for them to keep DJ Moore.
Yes.
Like in next offseason, that's probably going to be a priority. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes. Yes. Listen, I understand why they're saving some of their money, and they're probably thinking as well, we're going to have to pay Brisker, we're going to have to pay Gordon. I don't know how much you're going to pay him, but you're going to have to pay them to keep them in the mix. Tevin Jenkins, potentially, if he goes out and plays well, stays healthy.
Well, and if he stays healthy, the guard market has shot up this year.
It's $12 million a year.
Robert Hunt got $100 million.
Yeah. That was, what was it, 20, was it 5 years?
100 million, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so I get it. They're saving a little bit of green, but still wanted Daniel Hunter.
Matt in Streamwood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sylvie and Waddle, thanks for taking my phone call. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you, man.
Sylvie and Waddle, I saw that Matt Eberflus was the only one at Bo Nix's pro day of all the GMs and head coaches. Is that just a smokescreen for, like, Denver and Minnesota or the Raiders, if they're possibly, because I believe he's probably going to be the fourth quarterback taken if the Bears, Washington and New England select quarterbacks right away, 1, 2, 3, that he's probably the fourth quarterback, and that the asking price now to get that fourth quarterback might be 2 ones or 1 and 3 or 1 and 2 from any of those teams that want to trade up for that number nine pick.
Don't they have a receiver there, too, that projects pretty center. High? They got a center there. Yeah, I wouldn't.
You're like the, I've heard many callers and people wanting to know about this, Matt. Like, just because Bo Nix was having his pro day, so were several other great Oregon players.
Yeah.
And just because Matt Eberflus was the only head coach there, it doesn't mean like no one else was scouting him. Like, all the scouts were there. 30 teams were represented at Oregon's pro day. So, like, they, and again, the Bears were at Oregon State's pro day a day or two before, so they made the quick trip from Oregon State to Oregon. They could have been looking at multiple people. They're doing their due diligence. It's everything I want my team to be doing. So I wouldn't overlook or put too much stock into it on the Bo Nix front, but they're doing what good teams should be doing. They should be attending everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Are there people still out there that don't believe the Bears have in any way, shape, or form talked to people about trading, Justin?
There are a lot of people who still believe. I think the latest was today, Ryan Clark, after Lewis Riddick had his take on Get Up, Ryan Clark played the role of, guys, maybe the Bears aren't drafting Caleb Williams. Maybe they're keeping Justin. And that's been going around from the Justin Fields fan club. It's been tweeted out. But remember, this was a week after Ryan Clark went on there saying that Caleb Williams is the, like, what did he say last week? That Caleb Williams is the best prospect he's seen in a long time.
He basically said if he doesn't turn into a superstar, the Bears, it will be because the Bears ruined him.
Right, and not because of Caleb Williams.
Right.
So again, it's like whichever way you want to play this, you can play it.
And I saw like Ian Rappaport's reports about, the medicals, the Caleb, they haven't had the opportunity. Like, this is something else.
But then Rappaport yesterday kind of walked it back, and he said he still expects the Bears to take a quarterback at 1.
Yeah. This is weird, man. It's just all weird.
I'm telling you, like I told you earlier, not only I don't believe would Justin want to be taken to camp or Caleb Williams or Matt Eberflus, this would be a terrible thing for the fan base. This fan base would implode if they both go to camp. This fan base can't handle it.
And it's, PB sent me a text, and he asked the question as well. He's like, for all of the people out there that are clamoring about that the Bears did Justin wrong, and the only reason why he hasn't been a superstar is because they've held him back with coaches and players and all this other stuff. If you felt that way about how they hindered him, how much more are you hindering him if you bring in the first overall selection in the draft at his position?
Of course. It would make no sense for anybody.
No, it doesn't.
Barry on 290, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Barry?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. You know what? I changed what I want to say. I want to give you a would you rather.
Would you rather?
So my would you, yes, sir. Would you rather have Caleb Williams and Odunze at 1 and 9, or would you rather trade out of that pick, drop down to number 3, get Marvin Harrison, Odunze, and pick up a 2, a 3, and a 1 for next year? So you would So you would not want to have DJ Moore, Odunze, and Marvin Harrison, because when I go back and I look at Justin Fields' stats, right, everybody says Justin Fields was only good in college because he had talent around him, a talented wide receivers. If you give him those 3 wide receivers, Sylvie, you could play quarterback and win.
No, I can't.
No, I don't think so.
Now you're going too far, Barry. You've not. I've got a noodle arm.
Barry, I appreciate your passion for Justin. And I
have one more thing I want to say, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Real quick, I'm sorry. Here's the last thing. If we threw out the first 2 years, which we all agree we really should, because he wasn't given what he needed to succeed, and you look at what he did that third year, do you know that DJ Moore had his best year as a football player with Justin Fields in 12 games that Justin played? Why would you want to stop that? Because you're taking the guy, Caleb Williams, right, who everybody says is a generational talent. He wasn't the best quarterback.
I didn't say, but you're talking to us, Barry. I didn't say he was a generational talent.
Most people say that. But he wasn't the best quarterback in this conference last year. He wasn't a Heisman Trophy finalist, and he regressed last year.
Well, time out, Barry. Come on. Like he won the Heisman the year before. He had a 30-touchdown
finalist. But he wasn't a finalist this year.
Time out, Barry. But that doesn't mean he wasn't the best quarterback. He just didn't have the best stats, right? So, like, Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, was deserving of the Heisman Trophy. That doesn't mean that a group of 30 evaluators still wouldn't evaluate Caleb Williams as the top overall pick. I mean, you know, there's some nuance there.
But he should have been a finalist, right? Shouldn't he have been a finalist?
I'm not going to not draft him because he wasn't a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. I'm just not.
I really think with what we need, with all of the holes, to spend our 1 and 9 and have nothing 2, 3 as far as in the draft this year, I don't think we're going to be a contender. I don't think we're going to get that much better.
I don't think we're better off.
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be a contender next year if you've got Justin and all that you put out there any more of a contender. I just don't. Yeah. I mean,
look, I love what DJ Moore did with Justin last year. DJ Moore did put together some really good seasons in Carolina with some really bad quarterbacks.
Right.
Like, he had an 18-yard average in 2020 in 15 games. He had 1,200 yards receiving on 66 catches. You know, with who was his quarterback in 2020 with Carolina?
Was it Sam Darnold? I don't know. I don't know who it was.
Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker. I mean,
yeah, like,
spent some bad quarterbacks.
Bad quarterbacking. In 2021, he had 1,157 yards.
This is one of the other things I resist. The thought that you can't, and again, if you draft Caleb Williams, you have to develop him. But you're not able to become a good football team because you don't have the haul. You still have a bunch of cap space, and you have draft currency. And, oh, by the way, if the quarterback is good, he makes guys around him better.
Yeah.
Like, so I just resist this thought that you can't get to where you want to go unless you trade this first overall selection for this giant cachet of picks. You know what changes organizations more than anything? Difference-making quarterbacks.
Yes.
I'm not guaranteeing you Caleb Williams is that difference-making quarterback. I'm not telling you that he's generational. But if the general manager decides that he's the right pick,
then I'm not for the haul. I'm for drafting the quarterback.
Yes, it's been basic. You were the first to say it. If you love the quarterback, screw the haul. Like, that's the best motto to say.
Yes.
Like, but if you don't love the quarterback, take the haul.
Correct. It's really simple.
It's that simple.
And by the way, you could screw up the haul, too.
Yes, you can. Yes,
Kevin White was the eighth pick of the draft.
Of course.
How many other first-round picks don't hit?
A lot of them.
People make it sound like you're guaranteed at other positions. No, you're not.
There were lots of tackles the Bears have taken in the first round, like Gabe Kareemi, Chris Williams.
Yes.
Mid-first-round picks. So they've screwed up.
If you have a top-five quarterback in the NFL, there is no haul that you would give that quarterback up for. And the Bears have the chance to potentially land that guy without having to give up the haul.
Right, right.
If he is one of the next great quarterbacks.
It is the battle cry of 2024.
If you love the quarterback, screw the haul.
Yeah, well, before that was, is trade for the haul.
Yeah.
Got to get the haul. It's the only way we can get to the top of the mountain is you got to get the haul. No, the best way to get to the top of the mountain is with a guy who can sling it.
Right.
I don't know if he can.
And if Poles doesn't love Fields, then he can't take the haul.
Right.
Because a haul isn't good if you don't love the quarterback.
Like, it's so simple. If Ryan Poles comes to the microphone in the next couple of days and said, you know what, we're not going to draft Caleb Williams or anybody else number one. We're going to take the haul and we're moving forward with Justin. Fine, get it right. But if he comes to the microphone and says, guess what? We believe definitively that this kid out of USC or the kid out of North Carolina or LSU can get us somewhere that we don't believe our current quarterback can get us, then you draft that guy and screw the haul.
Screw the haul. All right, we've got Waddle's World coming up, and then Barstool Big Cat's going to join us at 5.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Let's do this, huh? Nice sunny day.
Well, it's not sunny anymore.
But it was sunny. It was glorious. Are we getting colder? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I think it's going to drop a little bit. But I don't think anything too
bad.
Have
we ever had a milder start to March like this?
I believe February was the mildest February we've had on record, at least recently. Let's see. 49 tomorrow and rainy. 49 Friday. 56 Saturday.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Then 41, 38, 43.
What is the average temperature this time of year?
Tracy, send that to me. Tell me the average. If you're listening, Tracy Butler. I don't know if I have that.
You said you had a tweet?
This is a good tweet.
Yeah.
John Gihon. Would you say John Gihon?
Gihon?
Yeah. John Gihon?
Sure.
John Gihon tweets, and he says, I like Ryan Poles. Not blowing his wad on overpriced free agents. Not blowing his waddle on overpriced free agents. What if he's saving cap space? Because when that number 9 picks comes up and the top wide receivers are all gone, he wants to send the pick to Cincinnati for T. Higgins and re-sign him in Chicago. Now, remember, someone else sent me something earlier today, or I saw something on Twitter. A.J. Brown was a draft day trade last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they love the Philadelphia playbook. You know this team loves the Philadelphia playbook.
2 years ago for
Years ago. That's right.
So he's saying if all three receivers are gone?
Right. Like, what if that is their backup plan to take the number 9?
Well, Okay. I can play with this for a bit. I'm not saying it's outrageous. But haven't we seen over the course of the last several years that you can find really good difference-making wide receivers further down? Now,
not him.
Not who?
Poles.
That's fair. That's fair. And by the way, look, if you do have a bit of a blind spot, we all have strengths and weaknesses, and when we acknowledge them, I think we're at our best. If they internally acknowledge that may be a bit of their weakness, so how they they circumvent that weakness is you actually take the risk out of the equation by paying for accomplished players who already have proven.
I do not like that idea.
I don't either. Though, what I was getting there, Why can't, if that's the case, why can't you find somebody who's the big-bodied wide receiver ran like a 4.4 from LSU?
Brian Thomas.
Boom. Like, there are guys that you can find that can potentially be a difference maker. That's burning through a lot of your cap space.
You trade down and then get one of those secondary wide receivers.
And keep your cap space.
Keon Coleman of Florida State. A lot of people like what he brings to the table. Yeah. You probably, if you're trading back, you could probably take him in like the late first.
Especially when you have DJ Moore, I don't think you need to trade for another receiver that's going to cost you a ton of money.
You don't have to force the issue.
Part of the huge value is that with these first round picks, you're obviously going for, you want difference making talent, but also that you have them at really cost team effective. Friendly, yes, which allows you to spread the cash around the rest of the roster. Whereas if you're trading for T. Higgins, you're going to eat up a lot of your cap.
And you're giving up the ninth pick.
And by the way, I like T. Higgins.
I do too.
I mean, he's not A.J. Brown.
No. He's not, you know. Who's the other kid there?
Jamar Chase.
No. He's not Jamar Chase.
There are very few like Jamar Chase.
If you wanted to sell me on T. Higgins in free agency and you keep the nine, I'm much more amenable to that than to trading nine and paying the price. That's not something I'm interested in. I thought you were going to read the tweet from the guy that said that I turned into cap.
Well, I didn't see that one.
Who was it? It was Camp Andrew. I can't believe T-Waddle87 turned into the cap man. Look, my philosophy is really simple. It's not outrageous, okay? If your general manager is convinced through all of the research and background and scouting and all of it that this particular quarterback is a better option than the guy you have, and you really think highly of him, and you have the pick of the litter, so to speak, because you have the first overall selection, then you use it. Define your time in Chicago with that selection. Don't be afraid to use that pick on a guy that you have conviction about in the most important position in all of professional sports. If you don't have that conviction, then trade the pick and move forward with the guy you have. This isn't like I'm not turning into anybody. I'm not for the haul. Everyone's screaming, get the haul, get the haul. The haul has plenty of risks associated with it as well. The quarterback that you keep may not make the progress that you're hoping for. You may misevaluate one of the guys that you select with said haul. There is risk attached to all of it.
Sure.
The haul doesn't eliminate risk. Okay? So, it's really, I've been telling you for months, if you're convinced, selecting. If you're not convinced, trade the pick.
I'm looking for that tweet of the guy calling you cap. I didn't see that.
You know what he didn't? He sent it to me and to Cap.
Oh.
I guess. I don't know. Did you see this story? Aaron Rodgers on a short list of 2024 vice presidential candidates for Robert Kennedy Jr.
I mean, that
who's running as an independent.
That was to give him exposure, wasn't it? Not Rodgers to get Robert Kennedy exposure, was it?
Because
was getting hit talking about him all day today. He was getting free exposure.
Yeah. Independent U.S. presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has recently approached Rodgers about potentially serving as his running mate for November's election, according to the New York Times. And the former NFL MVP has welcomed the overtures.
Of course he has. He loves
the spotlight.
If the November circus wasn't already about to be outrageous, it just took another turn into outrageousville.
I would love to see him in a VP debate. I'd watch it.
I would too. What has...
You know who Robert Kennedy is married to, don't you?
Yes, the girl from... the woman from Curb, right?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Who plays Larry's ex-wife.
Yes, and is now married to Ted Danson on the show. Yes. Yeah. I just think, how would you even navigate the specifics of that? And could you, I heard the guys talking about, Could you be the vice president of the United States?
And the quarterback?
And the quarterback of the Jets.
That's awesome. And go in a dark room every so often?
I mean, could you do it? I mean, can you do it? How would you do it? Like, the Secret Service and the security that would be associated with it would just be outrageous.
Think about the post-game press conference for Aaron Rodgers, where he's addressing half of the what happened in the game and the other half from, like, the White House press corps.
Yeah, the national debt. Yeah.
Outstanding.
He has welcomed the overtures, though.
Yes.
Rodgers, 40, has talked pretty continuously with Kennedy for the past month, the politician told the Times, confirming the longtime Green Bay Packers star is on a short list of potential VP candidates alongside former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse the Body Ventura. It's unclear if Rodgers has been formally offered the position, the Times reports, but the quarterback's star power and independent zeal are considered potential assets to Kennedy's effort to upset Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden.
Remember when Jesse Ventura became the governor of Minnesota? That was like the first. Wasn't he really
Wasn't Arnold the first governor of California?
Yes, but no, I think Sylvie's right. Jesse was before Arnold.
He was.
But don't forget, Ronald Reagan was before everybody.
Of course, right. That's true.
I think the state of politics is in a great spot. That's what this says.
Oh, yeah. It's trending in the right direction. Right, Jeff? There is a lot of talk about, or I believe there's a visit scheduled for the Bears and DJ Wonnum, right? Tomorrow, isn't there? Wasn't that rumor?
Yes, that's what it was supposed to be scheduled.
Did you know I made the reference and you guys chastised me for old guy conversation? I called this as basically
Jeff Blauser.
My brain is completely on empty right now. I can't remember anything. The Jeff Blauser situation. Remember where Jeff Blauser was a Cub killer, got to the Cubs and was still a Cub killer.
He was for the youngsters out there, he was a former Brave shortstop.
Yes.
Who killed the Cubs.
Killed the Cubs.
And then they signed him, and then he still killed the Cubs.
Yes, was not very good. I believe was a locker room smoking partner with Mark Grace, right? That was his claim to fame.
They were in the circle of smoke.
Who else was in there? Rod Beck?
Rod Beck, Mark Grace, Jeff Blauser. Who was the reliever? Matt Karchner, I believe, was in there.
How about a smoke? Anyway, smoking a beer. I'm not suggesting that DJ Wonnum would be the football version of Jeff Blauser, but I said to you guys, I had this memory of him just destroying Bears quarterbacks over the course of time. Do you realize that 7.5 of his career 23 sacks in 4 seasons in the National Football League have come against the Bears?
It's incredible.
7.5 of 23. I like him. I think he's a good player. I mean, I don't know what a contract with him would look like, but it is an interesting stat, isn't it?
And I think there's someone of more recent vintage who's been that. And I'm trying to think of
a Bear wrecker?
Whether it's a Bear wrecker or someone who the Bears... Well, I know. I think Edgar Bennett was like that, too. He killed the Bears, and then the Bears signed him and he killed the Bears.
Yeah.
But I think there's someone of more recent, like Chicago sports, who used to kill Chicago sports and then they signed him and then
I forget you Chicago mentioned this, sports. But I don't remember who it was.
That's what I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember either.
Can you remind us who's the most recent person who killed Chicago sports and then they signed here and then they continued to kill the team they signed with? 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
What's going on with Aroldis Chapman?
I don't know. What is going on with Aroldis
Chapman? Meller, you're the baseball guy here. He trended on Twitter last night.
Eighth inning setup duty for the Pirates.
Okay.
Right in front of David Bednar, who obviously has that back issue. Am I allowed to read this? That's probably not what you're talking about or referring to, though, right, Waddle?
Am I allowed to read the headline of the story?
What happened?
Let's find out.
He trended on Twitter last night for a video he posted on his Instagram story of him. I'll show it to you at the break.
Wait, give me, dress it up for me.
I don't think you can.
No?
No.
I mean, and it's, I'm just not comfortable with it. Read.
Why would you
come
bring
over
it
here?
Up?
I don't know. I regret it. Listen, I think the guys read it on
some
Carmen Yurko's show.
Some folks are just closer than with their parents than others, right? Is that what we're saying?
Wait. Scroll back up. What? Are you kidding? Why?
I'm not kidding.
It's a woman he's caressing, right?
Yeah.
And it's his mom.
Right. It's his mom.
He's like laying in a very romantic position with his mom.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
And he posted that on IG?
Yeah. You know what's even...
It's a stress reliever. That's what I've gone
with. Stop it.
What? Stop it.
What's a stress reliever?
A stress reliever.
What is
squeezing a stress reliever in this situation. That's what I'm going with. Wouldn't you say? It's like a stress ball.
It wasn't a stress ball, Jeff.
By the way,
what's going on with all our airplanes? I got another story here about a United Boeing 777 forced to land after hydraulic fluid was leaking during takeoff. Did you see the plane last week where the wheel tire fell off?
Yeah, the tire.
Also a Boeing.
What's going on?
I'm going to be on a 777 next week. That's not good.
That's a good-sized plane.
It is. That's the 3x4x3, I think. Is that the 777?
I don't know the exact.
3 seats by 4 by 3?
I tell you what, I flew one home from California recently, and there's...
I love the 777.
There's like 9 flight attendants on it because there's so many people.
Yeah.
Like it went to row 60 or whatever it is. It's crazy. So let's get our planes. Let's get them fixed. Okay, when we come back, we'll do a little something we like to call Florida or Ohio. That's next.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Florida, Ohio is brought to you by...
Oh, I thought we were going to play the open, no?
It didn't sound like it.
Florida, Ohio, though, is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. Let's hear it, Miller.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Squeezing some stress balls in there, are you?
Is that what you're doing?
Squeezing some stress balls?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You got caught squeezing some stress balls in.
That doesn't make sense.
Man taken into custody after climbing a cell tower and live streaming it.
What?
A man was arrested over the weekend for climbing a cell tower, according to the sheriff's office.
How high was it?
I'm trying to find.
That's probably not good for your health either, is it?
Yeah, no.
I don't think climbing anything is good for your health.
Any sort of tower. Get electrocuted.
But listen, if you're rock climbing or you're climbing like the face of a mountain, you're probably not going to interact with a 5G signal bouncing off your brain. Right?
Probably not. No.
Okay.
No information on the height. No information on the man's name or any potential charges he may be facing.
Okay.
But he did. Oh, wait. He made it all the way to the top.
Oh, he did. How high?
Did he have good reception, at least?
I would hope so. It's probably like plugging in an Ethernet
cord. That's such a great question. Do you get significantly better reception at the top of a cell tower than you would in your home?
If it's your carrier, I would assume.
I don't know.
Or does
Maybe
it get
the speed is the same.
Or is it like too close?
That's what I'm asking. What would you say?
I would guess it it can't hurt.
No, but is there a significant speed upgrade with being on top of the tower versus being a mile away from the tower at home?
It's got to be like plugging in an Ethernet cord to your phone. It's got to be. There's really not a lot of details in this story. Just the guy made it to the top and he was live streaming it.
Was it on a building or was it out in the middle of somewhere? No detail on that?
No, I'm not seeing that. He was climbing a tower.
It's probably still pretty cold in Ohio right now.
We've had mild. I think there's more
adventurous people down in
a crazy and adventurous people in Florida.
Yeah, I'll go Fort Walton Beach.
Fort Walton Beach. Yeah. How do you even know Fort Walton Beach?
In the Panhandle, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. I've never heard of it.
So, isn't Fort Walton Beach in the Panhandle? Fort Walton. Check that out. Fort Walton Beach, city in Florida.
I'm going to go like in the suburban Orlando area.
Yeah, it's by Destin. Destin's out there.
That's always one of your spots.
Yeah.
You love the Destin area.
Listen, I hear the beaches there are phenomenal. And by the way, I think that more people are starting to go there than were years and years ago. They created like a spot, destination.
What do you got, Meller?
I'll go with Florida. It took place in Hillsborough County, Florida.
All right. Where's that? That's Tampa, isn't it? Isn't Hillsborough County Tampa? Is that Tampa?
Okay. It is. Yeah, Tampa. Yeah.
All right, very good.
Look at you, Magellan.
By the way, a couple good submissions for guys who used to kill Chicago teams and then they signed here and still killed Chicago teams. Daniel Murphy's one.
Okay,
Daniel Murphy used to be a Cub killer,
right.
And then he signed here for that brief period and had like two good games.
Salty? Is he kind of salty?
I don't know if he was salty. No. Was he salty? Jared Allen is another one who used to kill the Bears as a Viking and then signed here and then killed the Bears. And Dwayne Wade's one. He would kill the Bulls as a member of the Heat, and then he killed the Bulls as a member of the Bulls.
So Jared Allen didn't have at least a decent run with the Bears?
No, it was one year. Remember, he replaced Julius Peppers.
Right.
Phil Emery signed him. And I think he had a very bad year.
You didn't give him a bunch of money?
Yeah.
With the Bears, yeah, once
he was a rodeo guy. That's what I remember most about his year.
He gave you the old rodeo thing.
What do you have, three sacks maybe?
Good old number 69. Nice.
He had 5.5.
Oh, five and a half.
5.5.
That was better than I thought he
had. Yeah, he had 11 the year before, or 11.5 the year before. He had himself a 22-sack season in 2011. I don't know if that's considered killing the Bears. One season. But,
okay. How many games did he play?
Damn you.
It's okay. Don't
worry. No, I got you. I got you. 15. 15 out of 16.
All right. Coming up next, we will talk to Barstool Big Cat. He had a busy week. A lot going on. We'll talk to Big Cat coming up next.